Northampton Colel, 2nd of October 2005, Kafches Elul, Toshin Samach Hei, Shegim Bagash and Hepner on Tehillim, Chapter Hei. Okay, Tehillim Perek Hei. I'll go through the whole chapter first, just to get a broad idea. Lamnaseach El Hanachilos Mizmer David, a song to the Nechilos, we'll see what that is. Mizmer David, a song to David. Lamnaseach is, of course, to the conductor. We had that on the last perek. Amarai Hazin Hashem, listen or give ear, God, to my sayings. Bino Hagigi, listen to my thoughts or understand my thoughts. Hakshiv Lekol Shavi, listen carefully to the sound of my cry. Malki, my God, my King, Velekoi, my God. Keilach Espalol, because I pray to you. Hashem, Boker Tishma Koli, Hashem, you listen to my voice in the morning. Care in the morning, Erech Lecha, I will set out for you, meaning I'll set out my prayer in sequence for you, Va'atzaper, and I will wait. Ki lo kel chofis resha otter, because you're not a God who wants wickedness. Lo yuguch hara, evil does not dwell with you. Wicked people, holilim, really means people like who are scoffers, cannot stand firmly opposite your eyes. So often you have hated all those who do evil or sin. Another word for sin, evil. You will destroy those who speak lies. People of blood and guile. Yisraiv Hashem, God detests those types of people. Va'ani brev chastacha, and I, it's probably but I, va'ani, but I, say like a disjunctive of, but I brev chastacha, with your immense kindness, of avesacha, I come into your house, eshtach velecha al kodshacha, I will bow down to your holy temple, Bira Secha, in your fear. Hashem Echini V'Sikha Secha, Hashem, guide me with your righteousness, Laman Shere Roy. I never understood this word until now. And you know, how long have I been saying that chapter, and I never knew what it meant. Laman Shere Roy, for those who lie in wait, watching me carefully, waiting for me to slip up. That's the idea. Laman Shere Roy, Hayashal Efonai Darkecha, straighten your way before me. Yeah, because in their mouths, that's in the mouths of these Rishonim, there's nothing correct. Kirbom Havos, their innards are wicked. Hard word that, Havos. Wicked, terrible, terrible things. Kever Posuach Geronom, their throat is like an open grave. These words mean. Lashonim Yachlikun, their tongue splits and speaks double, forked tongue, always can also mean smooth, chalak, smooth talking. They speak with guile, basically, my enemies. Ha'ashimim elekim, please God, make them guilty, yiplumim atzoseihem, they shall fall from their advice. Baruch Pishayim Hadichemo, push them over with their multitude of sins, Kimorovach, because they've rebelled against you. So the whole chapter is all about defeating David's enemies. V'yismachu chol chosevach, and all those who trust in you shall rejoice, le'olam yiraninu, they shall sing joyfully forever. V'saseich olemo, and you shall protect them. V'yaltsu v'cha o'aveshmecha, and those who love your name shall rejoice in you. So here we have a contrast between Rishoyim and Tzadik, and that's the theme really. Ka'ata tevarech Tzadik Hashem, because you Hashem bless the Tzadik, Katsino, like a shield, it's a particular type of shield called a Tzino, Rotzon Tatrenu, you shall crown your Tzadik with Rotzon, with desire. It means something like you envelop your tzaddik like a shield. This tzino is a shield which actually envelops a person on three sides. Three sides. No. It's a big shield. It's like a almost all round shield. almost 360 degrees. In fact, according to one view, it is in fact on all four sides. So it's a very protective shield covering almost around the entire body. So like that, Rotson Tachenu, you shall crown him with Rotson, with desire. Yeah, that's the translation. It's still pretty meaningless until we actually learn it properly. Yeah? Okay, let's go back. Yeah? So now we'll get to the Pesukim one by one. First thing to note is that the Medrash says that this chapter is directed at two particular enemies. They are Doeg and Achisophel. Okay, Doeg, who lived at the time of Shaul, who did two major crimes in his time. Doeg was the one who advised Shaul that David was no longer a force to be reckoned with, and therefore could be considered a dead man, and his wife, Michal, daughter of Shaul, should therefore be given away to someone else. And Shaul did that. Shaul got Michal separated from David and gave Michal over to Palti ben Laish. And Palti ben Laish is this great tzaddik who he stuck a sword between the two beds. Remember that Gemara? It's either Gemara or Medrash, or maybe even, I'm not even sure, it might even be almost before Shin Pasuk. No, I think it says a Medrash. He stuck a sword between the two beds and said, anybody who dares cross this line will be killed by the sword. So he kept his distance from Michal, knowing that she was really an Ashes Ish. Yeah, that was Palti ben Laish. It was Doeg who set that in motion. It was Doeg who persuaded Shaul to do that. And of course, his other huge avera was that he single-handedly wiped out the city of Nov after they gave protection to David. He killed them out. Shaul gave the command that the Kohanim of Nov should be killed, and Shaul's soldiers declined. They refused. They refused to obey the command. And whereupon Doeg himself did it. Doeg was this huge Talmud Chacham. Unbelievable. It was an Avbeistin or Rosh Sanhedrin or some huge position, and yet it all went bad. And a very similar history to Achisophel, he was David's Rebbe. He taught him these two things. We refer to it in the last Perek of Perkei Avos. He taught him to run to Shul, and he taught him to learn the Chavrusa as opposed to by himself. These are the two things that Achisophel taught David, and he was this great Talmud Chacham and Rosh Sanhedrin and everything. He lived after the time of Doeg. He never met Doeg. David's life crossed both of theirs, but they never met each other. They both died very young. Doeg died at the age of 34, and no. Either 34 or 33, it's actually my notes, we'll come across it. And Achisophel died also at a similar age, either 33 or 34. This capital Tehillim is directed at David, at Doeg and Achisophel as the Rishoyim. Achisophel, again, a man of blood. He was out to kill David. He teamed up with Avshalom against David, and his advice to Avshalom was actually very good military advice. We'll attack him now, and I will personally kill David for you. The Medrash says that Achisophel had a form of nevuah that the Malchus should really come to him. So the Medrash says that Achisophel's plan was that he'll advise Avshalom to kill David, and maybe even be prepared to kill David himself. He would kill David. Then he would subsequently try Avshalom for the crime of killing David. Get Avshalom killed, and he would then take over the Melucha himself. Yeah, absolutely. Why did he have this? How come he had this nevuah that the Malchus would come to him? The Malchus did come to him, in fact, Achisophel. Achisophel, I hope I've got the names right. Achisophel had a son whose name was Eliom, and Eliom had a daughter who was Bathsheba. Bathsheba had a son called Shlomo. Shlomo was Achisophel's great grandson. It's unbelievable.
That's life,
yeah. So the Malchus did come to Achisophel via his great grandson Shlomo, but it wasn't as direct as he imagined. Okay, so that's the chapter basically is against these two enemies, Doeg and Achisophel. Right, Namnasech El Hanachilos Mizmor LeDavid. A song for the conductor of the Beis Hamikdash choir, El Hanachilos, for Nachilos. Mizmor LeDavid, a song to David. This Nachilos. So many different pshatim on Nachilos. So, the first Rashi explains that the word Nachilos means a swarm of bees. or a swarm, really. And he quotes a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, which speaks of Nechil Shel Devarim, a swarm of bees, and it refers to his enemies who have come upon him like a swarm. They attack him like a swarm. Rashi also says it's related to the word Nachal, which is a river, like a fast-flowing river, so too the enemies flow towards him very quickly. And the Radak learns, no, the Radak learns this Nechilos is in fact a musical instrument. Lots of musical instruments here mentioned in Tehillim to accompany the Levim in the choir. And the Nechilos is one of these instruments. The Radak then goes on to say, or other Rishonim say, that this instrument is still connected to the idea of a swarm of bees because it gives off a droning noise. Yeah. I suppose a bit like a sitar. A sitar is the Indian instrument which gives off this constant drone. It's got special drone strings on it for this constant drone. So that's the idea. Drones of bees, exactly. The sound of the bees, which is, I think it's the sound of the wings, actually, flapping up and down. And that's the buzz of the buzz and the drone of the bees, and that's the idea of Nechilos. Other pshatim given here, Nechilos is, of course, it's in the plural form. Nechilos, the Yalkut Shimoni says that it's a reference to Klal Yisrael, who are the Nachala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Nachala of Klal Yisrael. You get this reciprocal relationship. In terms of Nachala, we inherit Hashem, and Hashem inherits us. Another pshat is given by the Yalkut Miamnois, that it's a reference to David himself, who inherited the Melucha, and I don't really understand this, but he says he was the Melech in Olam Hazeh and the Melech in Olam Abba. So that's the idea of Nechilos. It's a plural form of Nachala, that he inherited the royalty both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Abba. The Nut Scroll on Tehillim gives a beautiful introduction here and relates it to the word Nechilos. Since the chapter is devoted to Doeg and Achi Sofel, what was it about them? How do they connect him with this word Nechilos? So he says they were two great Talmid Chachamim, no question of it. Doeg and Achi Sofel were world leaders in Torah and in Chochmah. However, one of their problems was, among their many character failings, which ultimately brought them down, but one of the character failings was that they refused to acknowledge the superior wisdom of their rebbes. And they wanted everybody to see them as self-made men. You know, I'm a Talmud Chacham, and I did it all myself without any help from my rebbes. Thank you very much. I'm superior to all of that. I'm above all of that. So therefore, we start. The David begins. Lam nesechel hanachilos nachala. Look back to what came before you. Nachala, you've inherited something. Look back to your rebbe from whom you've inherited your chachma. That's how the art scroll puts it. It's a beautiful pshat there. That's how they introduce the chapter in the art scroll. Okay, pasuk base. Amarai hazin Hashem, give ear to my words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bina hagigi, understand my thoughts. Just on Tehillim Perek Hey. Tehillim Perek Hey. We're just on pasuk base. Amarai hazin Hashem, listen, give ear to my sayings, bina hagigi, understand my thoughts. So Rashi explains that it's a double lotion here, really. It basically means listen to me, or give ear to my tefillah, but it's put in two different ways. One is amorai, spoken word, and the other is hagigi, which is my thoughts, my meditation. So Rashi says, when I have koach to speak, that's amorai, that's when I can verbally express my tefillah. When I've run out of koach, then I can't express my tefillah clearly, so at least hagigi, listen to my meditations, what's on my mind, and listen to that, please. And of course the who puts this, I can't remember now who does this. The Radak. The Radak says, of course, it goes with the verb as well. Ha'azino is to listen. That goes with amarai, spoken word. Whereas bino is to understand, and that goes with hagigi, which is a meditative thing, a meditation, which isn't heard. So hazino only applies to amarai, and bino only applies to hagigi. The word bino is very interesting. Rashi says, this is a beautiful piece of diktuk here. Rashi says, the word bino, with the accent on the nun, is a noun. Bino, understand it, chokhmah, bino v'das, right? So it's a regular feminine noun, bino, with the accent on the nun. Here we have bino, you can see the negino is under the base, the accent goes on the base, says Rashi, it's a verb. It's not a noun, bino, understanding, it's a verb. Bino, understand. Of course, it comes from the future tense, tovin, you will understand, which becomes an imperative by taking off the first letter, which is just bin, which would just be an imperative formed from tovin. Just remove the first letter and you're left with bin, understand, and then it gets the extra commas here at the end, which makes it a polite imperative. Bino, please understand. So bino, please understand, hagigi, my thoughts. But the point, the Rashi is at pains to point out this is a verb and not a noun. Bino, accent on the nun, would be a noun. Bino, accent on the base, is a verb. It's an interesting piece of digduk, yeah? Bino hagigi. Yeah. Of course, we paraphrase this in Slichus. Just happened to notice this week through the fog of sleeplessness. In Slichus, Amoreinu, we say in the plural, Amoreinu hazina Hashem bina hagigenu. We say in the paragraph of Shmakalenu, which is a paraphrase that's possible, simply put into the plural. One small point of dictum there. Hagigi, the accent, the Ibn Ezra points out the root is Hei Gimel Aleph. Hei Gimel Aleph. Yeah, Yom Valola. Similar word. Yege. To meditate. Yeah? Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Hakshiva Kol Shavi Malki Elokoi. Listen to the sound of my cry, my God and my King and my God. Keilech Espalo, because I pray to you. The Malbim points out a difference between Hakshiva and Ha'azina. Ha'azina, it goes with Amorai, something which is spoken. Close up, you can hear. Ha'azina is hearing at a close range, whereas Hakshiva is hearing from a long distance. And therefore it goes with the Kol Shavi, the voice of my cry. It's not something which is just Amorai, something which I'm saying. No, it's the Kol Shavi, it's something which I have to cry out loud, and therefore it goes hand in hand with the word Hakshiva, which is long distance hearing. Hearing from a distance.
Yeah, to listen and to hear.
Oh.
It's two...
Two different conversations, really.
Hear things without listening.
Yeah. As a school teacher, I know
hearing,
that.
More than hearing, more listening for us.
Yeah. Oh.
I think that...
Ozen. Ozen, the ear, yeah. You know the word Oznaim, as a doctor you'll appreciate this more than any of us, that comes, it's the balance of a person goes on the ear, apparently.
Right,
yeah?
The middle ear.
Apparently a person's balance is somehow dictated by the ears, or yeah, something like that.
Yes, the organ is associated with the ears.
With balance. Yeah. And the word Ozen is the root, yeah. And Moznaim are scales. With balance, yeah? Mosnei Tzedek,
yeah?
Unbelievable. The root is right there. The root, Mosnaim, the root of scales is ear, because it's all about balance.
Yes, but what is balance in Hebrew? Shokul, or... You see, it's not the...
No, but the scales, the old-fashioned type of scales, is the balancing one pan against the other.
Yes.
That's how, you know. Yeah. Hakshiva Kol Shavi Malki Velokoi. Malki Velokoi. The Malbim points out Malki Velokoi. He says, under normal human circumstances, you may well go to the king for help, and the king will defer you to one of his counselors. The Malbim calls him a judge, and you go off to the judge, and the judge will say, "Yeah, very good, very good." Go back to the king and ask him for rishus. In other words, they could pass the buck between each other. Says David, "You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are both Malki and Elokoi." So you can't pass the buck to anyone else because you're the one person who incorporates everything. Malki Velokoi, that's how the Malbim puts it. The Yalkut Shimoni says that we have here four separate expressions referring to four separate Malchios, the four separate Golios, I should say, in terms of clients have been in exile. Going back to Pasuk Beis, Amorai Hazina Hashem is one phrase, and that refers to Golos Bavel. Bina Hagigi refers to Modai. Hakshiva Lekol Shavi is Yavon, and Kelecha Espalol is Edom. That's how he splits it up into four separate things. And the Yalkut Mini says that each one with each phrase a different period of our history, different type of Golos. That's the Yalkut Shimoni, not the Yalkut Mamnois. And the Yalkut Mamnois points out that when it comes to tefillah, Hakshiv l'kol shavi makiv elokai kelech espalol, it's tefillah is not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's acceptance of a tefillah is not based on how deserving a person is. He says it's not gemul, it's not if a person is deserving to have his prayer answered, then Hashem will answer the prayer. No, it's not that. He says it's all chesed. It's a good time of year for you to remember this sort of thing. There's nothing to do with gemul, it's not how deserving you are, it's chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us chesed by granting us our tefillos. Hashem pasuk dalet. Hashem boker tishma koli. Hashem, listen to my voice in the morning. Boker e'erach lecha. In the morning I will set out for you my prayer, va'atzapeh, and I will wait. E'erach is a lashon of ma'arocha. Ein reish chof is to set something out, as in Shulchan Aruch. Later, Shulchan Aruch. And the ma'arocha was, well, we have the aseh amcha on top of the wood laid out. Yeah, the wood pile, which is in sort of in rows of wood, and also Marocha is in battle. It's the battle lines in the old-fashioned style of war, with soldiers all lined up meeting each other across the field. Okay, so that's Marocha. Okay, Rashi says, why this boker? Why is David saying he wants to daven dafka in the boker, dafka in the morning? So Rashi quotes another pasuk in Tehillim from chapter Kufalef pasuk Ches, Labakarim atzmis kol rishay ores. In the mornings, I will destroy all the enemies of the earth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's time for destroying Rishoyim is given to be the boker. So that's why David is praying for salvation from Achisophel and from Doeg, dafka in the mornings, because that's the time when he will destroy the enemies. Yeah, and it says I will wait. Is Rashi explains, I'll wait for the mishpat. I'll wait for the judgment to be meted out against my enemy. I will wait immediately. Instant coffee. Yeah, instant retribution. I daven, and immediately my prayer is answered. Vatape. I just sit back because I know it's going to happen pretty much instantaneously. The Radak points out why this interest in davening dafka boker in the morning, says the Radak, is before we get going on our daily business, before we set out to work, before we go out to earn our pranos and get involved in the day's happenings, we hop in quickly and pray before that. I noticed on Friday, I got the shock of my life, in Slichus, the pizmon for Friday was Hashem Boker Tishma Koli. That was the refrain. And I looked in the Rosenfeld Slichus, which I'm using. Normally he gives all the references. He actually didn't note where the source of it. And it comes straight from me, Hashem Boker Tishma Koli. That was the Friday pizmon. And Thursday night I'd learnt this pasuk, and that's how I reckon. Yeah. But it gave me a shock in it to see it. I'd been on this all of Thursday night, and then I saw it Friday morning. So, yeah. I know it's my Malichus, the source, because it doesn't actually bring it, doesn't give the quote. Okay. Interesting is the Lashon E'erach Lecha. E'erach Lecha, I will set out for you, or I will lay out for you, va'atzap, and I will wait. The Ibn Ezra points out, the phrase is choser. There's a word missing here. E'erach Lecha, I will lay out for you. But it doesn't say what the direct object is. What will I lay out for you? Says Ibn Ezra, it's a reference to tefillah. I lay out my tefillah. He says it's a shorthand form for E'erach Lecha, tefillosi. I will lay out my prayer for you. That word is just missing.
Translation here is, I will prepare myself.
Oh, myself. Oh, right. Oh, interesting. Oh. Different shot. Prepare myself for you, right? Or as Ibn Ezra says, my prayer. Oh, shkach. The Malbim says that this expression of boker is a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Boker is light, and light is success, as opposed to darkness, and light is Yeshua, while darkness is Golos, all these sorts of ideas. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here David uses the word boker as an expression of hope. Once morning comes, the world brightens up again. Things look better in the morning. The Zohar says, it's a Zohar in Bolok, Chelek Gimel Reish Dalet. I haven't seen it inside, I've just seen the quote to it, that that this idea of Boker, that David is praying in the Zuchus of Avram. Why? Vayashkem Avram Baboker. That was at the beginning of the Akedah, laying it a couple of days now, that Avram gets up in the morning, and the Boker is therefore in the Zuchus of Avram, who hurried to do the Akedah. The Rabbeinu Bachai points out that Boker is a time of Chesed. Why Chesed? We speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness in the mornings, Baboker. So therefore, David is praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka, Baboker, in the hope of Chesed. Okay, Pasuk Hey. Lokel Chofetz Resha Ata, you are not a God who wants evil or wickedness. Lo Yegurcha Ra, evil does not dwell with you. Oh. So the first thing, I was really pleased, I noticed it myself, Baruch Hashem, and then I saw it in the Minchas Shai. There is a psik, a vertical line, a separator between the word Resha and the word Ata. Of course it's the same phrase, you are not a God who likes wickedness, but we're not that happy with having the word Resha juxtaposed to reference HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the word Ata, so we put a psik in between them. You see that sort of thing. It was just last week or 2 weeks ago with Parashas Kisavo in the Tochacha. Sometimes you have all these references to these horrendous punishments together with Hashem's name, and there's a psik between them. In the Kriyas Torah, one should make a slight pause there just to separate between the most awful atrocities of the world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So likewise have this separation between Resha and Ata. Ki lo kel chofetz Resha Ata lo yegurcha ra. The Minchas Shai brings that. The Radak says the word ki means because. Because you do not like Resha, therefore help me, because I am not a Rasha, says David Hashem. Others are Rishon, Achisofel and Doeg and others, they are Rishon. I'm not a Rasha, and therefore, because you don't like Rishas, therefore, please help me and give me a Yeshua from them. This word Ra, at the end of the Pasuk, Lo Yegurcha Ra, the Radak says that it could mean one of two things. He says it could either be a reference to man, a bad man, and ra simply being the adjective of a bad person, lo yegurcha ra, no bad person can dwell with you, or, says the Radak, it could be a noun in its own right, ra, evil, just anything bad, lo yegurcha ra, evil does not dwell with you. And the Radak leaves it open, it could be one of those two. The Ibn Ezra says it refers to a bad person. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns it. A bad person. The Malbim has a totally different loshen, a different understanding of this phrase, Lo Yegurcha Ra. The other Rishonim learn it from Gimel Vav Resh, meaning to sojourn or to live with something. Lo Yegurcha Ra, evil does not live with you. Says the Malbim, no. We have a pasuk in Devarim, Lo Soguru Mipnei Ish, don't be scared of any man. It's an expression of fear. Lo Yegurcha Ra, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have no fear of evil. Says the Malbim, what's the pshat? David HaMelech is comparing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to other deities as brought in mythology. In fact, the Malbim brings the word mythologia, that's mythology. In mythology, you've got the god of this and the god of that, and each god has his own kochus, and each god is frightened of the other god. You know, the god of Wednesday is scared of the god of Thursday because who knows what might happen on Thursday, you know, this sort of thing. So, but he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has none of that, of course. Lo Yegurcha Ra, you're not scared of anything. You're not scared of any other evil. It doesn't bother you because you are the only true power. That's how the Malbim learns it. The Psikta Rabosi says on this pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when it comes at the end of the day, I'm not that interested in korbanos. I'm not interested in olos, chataos, or any other type of korban. What I'm really interested in is tefillah, prayer, and of the prayers, you've got to start with kavona, proper kavona saliv, because otherwise it just becomes dvorim betalim and a form of resha and kilokel chofes resha otto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in dvorim betalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in real tefillah, not just tefillah is recited without kavona. So tefillah plays a bigger role than karbonos, and tefillah must be genuine with proper kavanah saliv. The Alkut Malnos points out, going back to the regular pshat of Lo Yegurcha Ra, not the Malbim's pshat of fear, but of living with. Lo yugucharo, evil does not dwell with you. The Alkam Amnos says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is surrounded by malachim. All the malachim who are in close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are malachim of reward, malachim of goodness. Whereas the malachim chavala, malachim who dish out punishments, and he refers to them as malachim za'af, angels of anger, those malachim are not in close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's lo yugucharo, evil does not dwell with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu distances himself from those types of malachim, surrounding himself only with the malachim of reward. Okay, Pasuk. Scoffers. What's the English? They give a fantastic English word there in the art scroll there for holilim. Roisterers, yeah, what is roisterers? I had to reach my dictionary on that one. Yeah, to come out if you don't mind. Okay, the art scroll points out that a holilim translation is roisterers, given by the Oxford Dictionary as party people, party goers. Yeah. Roisterers, party people, scoffers, do not stand firm before your eyes. Sanesa kopale oven, you hated all those who do evil. Kopale oven. So the Radak points out that it's rather like. Like a person who can't bear to meet his enemy. Sorry. What would you like? So the Radak points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no holilim, none of these Rishonim, can stand before your eyes, before the eyes of Hashem, rather like a person who can't bear to see his enemy. Can't bear to see his enemy, doesn't want to clap eyes on him. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to clap eyes on these on any of these enemies. Holilim. Sonit Kapale Oven, yeah, he hated all people who are Rishonim, basically. People who are Rishonim. And on this, the Medrash Shechetov, which is a special Medrash on Tehillim, points out this as a reference to Doeg and Achisofel, these two great, great Talmid Chachamim, who were even greater Rishoyim. Their riches overtook their Chochma, and they are therefore described as Holilim, that despite their great Chochma, the Midas Rotos were well entrenched and they couldn't control themselves. Okay. To Abi Dovri Chozov, you shall draw those who speak lies. Ishtonim Nirimah Yisoyev Hashem. God shall detest the man of blood and guile. Yeah, cunning, guile, that sort of thing. Again, the Mincha Shai points out Yisoyev Pasik Hashem. This word disgust, Yisoyev Hashem, detest them. It's not a very pleasant word, so we have this Pasik to separate that between that verb, Yisoyev, not a pleasant verb, and the Shem Hashem. Okay, to Abed Dovei Chozov, you shall destroy those who speak lies, Ishtomim Umim, Yisoyev Hashem, God shall detest the man of blood and guile. Rashi on this pasuk says it refers to Amalek. So interestingly enough, many medrashim say that this whole chapter and this pasuk in particular refers to Achisofel and Doeg, and yet Rashi says it refers to Amalek. Okay, interesting is pointed out by the Mincha Shai, and I think another one of the Gemara as well, that pasuk actually could almost be ambiguous. How do you translate Ish Domim? This word Yisoyev, who is the subject of that verb? Is it the Ishtonim and this man of blood and guile? He detests Hashem. Yisoyev Hashem, he detests Hashem. So the Ishtonim Umimro is the subject and Hashem is the object. Or it's the other way around. Ishtonim Umimro, Yisoyev Hashem. Hashem is the subject and he detests the object, i.e. Ishtonim Umimro. And of course, the latter one is the correct shot. And the Rishonim pains to point that out. I think it's in the Mincha Shai. Yes, it's the Mincha Shai points that out. It's Hashem who detests the Ishtonim Umimro, not the other way around. Now, here we have a big, big piece of... Oh, 1 minute, before it comes out. The Radak. The Radak points out, interesting shot, Te Abed is in the second person. You, Hashem, will destroy these Dovei Chaz and the people who speak lies. Yet the second verb, Yesoev, is in the third person. And the Radak says that this is quite common to combine these two things, second person and third person, both in the same pasuk. Now, big piece of Medrash. Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, I give the reference, it's Perek Lamed Beis Os Aleph. The Medrash says that this pasuk is a reference to Doeg and Achisofel. Doeg was an Ishdomim, Doeg was a man of Mirmah, Achisofel was an Ishdomim, Achisofel was a man of Mirmah. How did this happen? Well, Doeg was the man who, yeah, Doeg lived to the age of 34, Achisofel lived to the age of 33. That was the, yeah, very, very young. By the way, they both died very young, 33 and 34. But they were already great-grandfathers. There's a Tosfos at the beginning of Perek Ben Sera Mura, which says that Achisofel sired his first child when he was 8 years old. Unbelievable. Because he was the great-grandfather of Shlomo HaMelech, and I believe Shlomo HaMelech was born in his lifetime. I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah, I think he was in the lifetime of Achisofel. So he died a great-grandfather at the age of 33. How can that be? Since he sired his first child at the age of 8. Anyway, okay, amazing. Now, so Doeg was the man of Mirmah and a man of Domim. He was a man of blood because he killed out the Nov, the city of Kernim. And he was a man of Mirmah of guile because he advised Shaul to allow Michal, to take Michal away from David by force and to present her as a wife to Palti ben Laish, who refused to get anywhere near to her. But the fact is that made Doeg into a man of Mirmah. Achisofel, a man of blood, he was the man who was prepared to kill David himself. His plan was later on to kill Avshalom as well. And he was a man of Mirmah, man of guile, because he advised Avshalom to have Beor with the Pelagshim of David. You know, to make his stamp upon the Malchus. He says, you want everyone to believe that you're going to be the new Melech, so go and have Beor with these Pelagshim, which he did in public. Unbelievable. I say in public, I mean, he went into a tent. But he put the tent on, yeah, so it was clear everybody could see what he was about, what he was doing. Now, the point is, let's take it with the next pasuk as well. So these pasukim, Ishtamim and Mimra, refer specifically to Doeg and Achisofel. Now, let's take it with the next pasuk. Va'ani, and I, Barov Chastacho, with your great kindness, Ovev Esecho, I come into your house, Eshtachava Abadan Elechal Kotchecho to your holy temple, to your Esecho, in your fear. Says the Medrash, this Pasuk says that David turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, well, Achisofel and Doeg are both guilty of being an Ishdomim and Mirmah. I, David, am guilty of the same crimes. Why? I'm an Ishdomim. I've got blood on my hands because I sent Uriah Hachiti out to the front line to have him killed. And I'm a man of Mirmah, Gilui Arroyos. The measure says that Mirmah is a reference to Gilui Arroyos. Gilui Arroyos Vachisofel, advising Avshalom to sleep with the Pelagra David. Gilui Arroyos of Doeg in taking Michal from David to Palti Ben Naish. And David says, I'm guilty of the same crime because I'm guilty of a form of Gilui Arroyos with Bathsheba. Because I had beer with her while her husband Uriah was still alive. Okay, it wasn't really an Avera. The get was Chal Lamafreya, as the Gemara says. So she was already a Grusha in the knowledge that Uriah would die in battle. But David says, I'm guilty of the same crime. Why am I different from Doeg and Achisofel? And the difference is Teshuvah. Because I've come to Yaakov and I'm doing Teshuvah. In fact, David never... stopped doing teshuvah for his entire life for this mice of Uriah and Bathsheba. He says, "Chatosi negdi somid." It's a pasuk in Tehillim. My sin is opposite me forever. I'm constantly aware of my avera. So he says, "I'm no better than they are. I'm no better than Doeg and Achisofel, but I do teshuvah. They haven't done teshuvah over this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accepting my teshuvah Barov Chastacha." So he's saying, so this Vav is really, Va'ani Barov Chastacha is a destructive Vav. They're terrible people, Doeg and Achisofel, but I've been granted your chesed, your Rov Chastacha, and that's granted me forgiveness, and that's granted me continuity. Whereas Doeg and Achisofel are finished powers, and they die young, and no chelik in olam haba either for them. Oh, Yesoev Hashem, on that phrase in the end of Pasuk Zayin, Yesoev Hashem, Hashem detests these people, these Ishtamim and Mirma, says the Medrash, again still referring to Doeg and Achisofel. What about them? That they do not have any din, lo nidonim, they're not judged, i.e. the Yom HaDin HaGadol, which is a time in the future, the Yom HaDin HaGadol, which is a precursor to Tcheis HaMesim, the Doeg and Achisofel will not be granted the privilege of being judged, i.e. they're totally finished, there's no Tcheis HaMesim for them, there's no Olam HaBo for them, nothing at all, they've lost everything, and they're punished Leolam Voi, and they don't get, that's the idea of Yesoev Hashem. Hashem totally detests them, they're completely out of Hashem's picture. Now the Medrash also points out that this word Dovrei Chozov, speakers of evil, is written without a Vav. You might have expected a Vav there, Cholam Vav, Dovrei, but instead you just have the Cholam, just the dot on top of the Dalet, but no Vav. Says that Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis Lamed Beis, that it can be darshaned as well to be Divrei. Hashem will destroy not just those who speak Chozov, Dovrei, but also Divrei. Their words themselves would also come to nothing and will be destroyed. And then the Medrash brings another pshat, that again it can also be understood, without vowels of course, as Daborei. Daborei, again because it's missing that Vav, what does Daborei mean? Dabor is a leader. For example, the Pasuk says in Shemos, the beginning of Shemos, Pek Gimel, Vayinhages Miknehu Achar Hamidbar. No, Vayinhages Hatzon Achar Hamidbar. That Moshe Rabbeinu, as the shepherd for Yisro, took the sheep of Yisro Achar Hamidbar behind the wilderness, he took them somewhere to some place. That's where the burning bush incident happens. Now, that word Vayinhag is translated by the Targum as Vidabar. Vidabar, because dabar is to lead. So Dovrei Chozov doesn't just mean those who speak evil, but it means the leaders who are essentially bad people, lying leaders, the Daborei Chozov. That's how the Medrash Rabbah puts it. The Medrash Rabbah then goes on to say that this pasuk refers not just to Doeg, not just to Achisofel, but also to Noach. Why Noach? Because Noach says, the people in my time, they were Ishtomim or Mirma, they were bad people, and I was no better, says Noach. Why was I no better? So the Pirush on the Medrash Rabbah says, I was no better because I never gave them a Musar Drasha. That's why, you know, that's one of the things, that's why the May Noach is blamed, the Mabul is referred to in Noach as May Noach, the waters of Noach. He's not culpable for the fact that his Dara did not do Teshuvah. He should have given them Musar Drashas and he didn't. So he's to blame for that. So he says, I'm no better than they are. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen to favor me, even though I'm pretty much guilty of the same crime as the other people. The Yalkut Me'amloes points out on this Dovrei Chozov, people who speak lies, he says it's referring to speaking Echad Bepev, Echad Belev. You don't say what's really on your mind, it's what's in your heart. Echad Bepev, Echad Belev. Which is given to the credit of the brothers of Yosef, that they spoke to him what they really thought. You know, they, in amidst their words, they thought Yosef was bad, and they told him so. Well, of course, that caused all further problems, but in praise of them, Rashi at the beginning of Vayeshev says that they did not speak Echad Bepeh V'Echad Belev. Says the Yalkut Me'amloes, very nice Loshen, very nice Remes, says a Pasuk in Tetzaveh, says V'lo Yizach HaChoshen Me'al Ha'Ephod, the Choshen, the breastplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, should not slip off, shouldn't slip off the Ephod. So it says, the Ephod, Aleph Fei Dalad, is Gematria Peh. Yeah? The mouth. And the Choshen is worn on the lave. The lave and the pear should be at one. The choshen shouldn't slip off the ephod, right? Nice word. Echad bepe. One should speak echad bepe v'echad belave. Okay. Next pasuk. Vani pasuk ches. Vani ber chastecha ove ve'secha eshtacha v'lecha koshecha v'yosecha. Which of course we paraphrase that in slichas as well. Vanachnu berov chastecha nove ve'secha nishtacha v'lecha koshecha v'yosecha. In the beginning of slichas, in the paragraph of Shemea Tefillah. Where we have these collection of pasukim, we paraphrase that pasuk in this pasuk in the plural. Yeah, va'anachnu rev chastucha and so on. Rashi says, what's this idea? Why am I going to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why am I going to the house of Hashem? So he says, to give thanks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has avenged me of my enemies. That's the idea. It's David giving thanks. The Radak says, It points out that this hechal kodshecha, that wherever we are, we daven towards the place of the mikdash, base of mikdash. And if a person doesn't know where the base, he doesn't know which way is mizrach, then he should be mechavin, lekodesh hakodashim. So that's the eshtach velehechal kodshecha. Wherever we are, we have our thoughts directed towards the base of mikdash. The Radak asks a simple kasha that I was embarrassed not to think of myself. He says, what's this idea? Hechal kodshecha. It's not built yet. Yeah? The Beis Hamikdash wasn't there. Says the Radak, it refers to the bayis, the house, the building which housed the Oren. That, in the time of David, was called Hechal kodshecha. But of course, the actual Beis Hamikdash wasn't around yet. Yeah? It's a simple kasha, didn't think of it. Now, you know when Rabbi Cooper comes into shul, he always says that. Now, and I found it, it's brought in the Siddur of the Yavetz. I can't remember the name of the Yavetz. It's referred to as the Yavetz, Siddur of the Yavetz, can't remember. The son of the Chacham Tzvi, I think. Or the father, either the son of the Chacham Tzvi or the father of the Chacham Tzvi, I can't remember. Maybe in this, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's it, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. No, it's Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Ibis. And the Siddur there, he brings this, and he quotes, it's brought from the Zohar. The Zohar says that when a person comes into shul, before properly coming in, yeah, it's brought from the Siddur, sure. It's right there, beginning of every Siddur. When a person comes into shul, what he should do initially is to ask Rishus from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to daven. And he does so with this pasuk. Why? Because this pasuk has references to the obvious. V'anibrov chastacha is a reference to Avram. Avram's great midah was the midah of chesed. Ovo v'secha is a reference to Yaakov, because the pasuk says in Vayishlach, v'Yaakov nosa sukosa v'yiven lo boyis. So bayis, the house, ovo v'secha, is a hidden reference to Yaakov, while eshtachave el echal kodshecha b'yirasecha is a reference to Yitzchak, who was bound for the Akedah in a mokum kodesh, right, on Har HaMoriah. So that's eshtachave el echal kodshecha b'yirasecha, is a reference to Yitzchak. The Siddur of the Yavetz brings it slightly differently. He says that the word b'yirasecha is a reference to Yaakov. Why? Because the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov says, Manora Hamokam Azeh. Nora connected is the same root, of course, as Yirasecha. The Meiri points out, the Meiri's Pirush on Tehillim, which my son is always keen for me to learn, the Meiri says on this pasuk that David says, I come to your house, Ovev Esecha, I come to your house, which means I have a very close proximity, and almost like a special private audience with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which I don't really deserve, and could rise to things of Gaiva. I have a special audience, Ovev Esecha, I can speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he can speak to me. So that could give rise in an ordinary person to a feeling of Gaiva, and to counter that, David says, no, Achas V'Shalom, I don't have any Gaiva, on the contrary, Eshtach HaVenei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I prostrate myself, I bow down to you, I have no feelings of Gaiva, I'm very humble into the bargain. Yeah, Pasuk Tes. Hashem nechini v'tzikasecha, God, guide me with your righteousness, lema'an shereroi, for the sake of my enemies who watch me, waiting for me to slip and fall. That's the short translation of the word shereroi. People who watch me carefully, lie in wait, waiting for me to slip up on the slightest thing, and they'll use that as a slightest excuse to bring me down. Hashem nechini v'tzikasecha, guide me with your righteousness, lema'an shereroi, for the sake of my enemies who lie in wait, hayashar lefonai darkecha, straighten your way before me. In other words, make me walk upon your straight path. That's what it really comes to. So the Radak pointed out the word Hayashar is of course a kriksiv. I don't know how it's printed in yours. It's a kriksiv. The kriksiv is Hevov Shinresh, like Havashar, but the Kri is with a yud instead of a vav, and it becomes Hayashar. So that's the Radak simply points out that we have this. We've got this krikasiv, and he compares it. Baruch Hashem, I realized this as well, and then I saw it in the Radak. That you have exactly the same thing in Parshas Noach, when Hashem says to Noach, "Come out of the ark." He says, "Hayetzei itoch kol achaya asher itocha." Mikol basar ba'ov v'abehima uv'chol haremes haremes ala aretz hayetzei itoch, bring them out with you. But that word hayetzeh is a quicksive, and it's exactly the same form as this. It's with a vav instead of a yud. Hayetzeh is written hafetzeh, like hayeshar is written hafeshar. And I saw, and I think it's in the Art Scroll Sefer, in the name of a sefer called Tefillas Yisrael, that the kesiv could read hushar. Hushar, everything is straight and correct. My life, whatever happens in my life, I accept as being correct and straight. Hushar, it is straightened for you. But of course, he's davening in the giving a almost in the imperative. Hayashar, please straighten things out for me. Straighten my life out for you. So he explains the ksiv. The ksiv is hushar. I accept whatever happens is good and correct. But I also daven hayashar. Please straighten my way for you. Before you, yeah. Pasuk Yud. Ki ein befihu nechona. There, talking about his enemies, there is not in his mouth correctness. Kirbom havos. Their innards are appalling or very bad. What's the English to give there for havos? Who got that? Kirbom havos. Treacherous. Oh, thank you. Treacherous. Yeah. Kibram Havis, their inner thoughts, innards are treacherous. Thank you. Kevet Pasuch Geronam, their throat is like an open grave. Leshonom Yachalikun, they split their tongue, or it can mean they talk very smoothly. So Rashi points out, there's nothing good inside them. He says that they appear to be friends, but they're not really friends. Dagan Achisofel may give an outward appearance of friendship, but in fact they're not friends. Kirbom Hachgaronom says Rashi, Kevah Pasach Geronom, their throat is like an open grave. They swallow up the fruits of others. Other people make an effort, achieve something good, and they come along and they take it for themselves. And like a grave will accept the body, so too they'll chap whatever other people have created. Now, Lashonim Yachalikun can be taken two ways. Either it's a Lashon of Cholek, to split. In other words, they talk with ambiguity. They speak as though they're your friend, but in fact they're not your friend. Or Yachalikun is a Lashon of Cholok, being smooth. They're smooth-talking guys. You know, they'll talk you into anything, whereas really they're treacherous. Doeg and Achusef are terrible, treacherous people. But from their talking, you'll think they're smooth-talking and good guys. Yeah. Yes. Ein befihu nechona. Interesting expression there. The Radak explains, ein befihu nechona. There is nothing good in their mouth. So he says, it doesn't. The word nechona really is an adjective. But what is it describing? The noun that the word nechona describes is not in the pasuk. Says the Radak, it's the word amira. Their speech is not correct in their mouth. And it says the Radak, Nechona is feminine and Amira is feminine. So the word Amira is missing from the Pasuk and it's described by the word Nechona. But it's implied, but it's not actually written beforeish in the Pasuk. And the Alkut Memnois points out that this idea of Kever Pasuach Geronom, their mouth is like an open, or that their throat is like an open grave, is a reference to speaking Lashon Hara. Doeg and Achisofel both spoke terribly about David, and is their grave, and their mouth is constantly open to speak yet more Lashon Hara. Even having spoken Lashon Hara, go on to speak even more Lashon Hara. Yud Aleph. Ha'ashimei Melekim, God declare them guilty. Yiplu mimatzosehem, they should fall from their advice, meaning from their positions of being advisors. Doeg and Achisofel, both advisors. Baruch Peshem hadichemo, push them down due to the multitude of their sins. Kimorivoch, because they have rebelled against you. So Rashi says that the pasuk then continues in Yud Beis, v'yismachu chol chesivach. Then all those who rely on you will rejoice. Christ will only rejoice once the Rishonim have fallen. Yeah, the downfall of Rishonim. And ki maruvach, they've rebelled against you. The Radak says, since you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have appointed me to be the Melech, once Doeg and Achisofel will rebel against me, in effect they're rebelling against you. Yeah. Yeah. The Malbim points out that this word ha'ashimim, most Rishonim point out it comes from Aleph Shin Mem, meaning to be guilty, declare them guilty, and I think it's in the Malbim who says it comes from Shomim, or maybe it's Ibn Ezra actually. To be desolate, that's right, make them desolate. Yeah, I can't remember now. It's either the Malbim or the Ibn Ezra. Okay, Yud Beis. V'yismichu chol chosev, v'achon all those who rely on you, who chasten you, will rejoice. Lo'na miraneinu, they will rejoice forever, singing rejoicefully, joyfully. V'saseich aleimu, and you will protect them. V'yaltzu v'cha'a v'shmecha, and those who love your name will rejoice in you. Oh, so the Sefer called Shemen Lama'ar, and I saw this quoted, I don't know where I saw it quoted. It must be in the art scroll there, I think. Shemen Amara quotes, the Olam Yiraneinu, they'll rejoice forever. No joy lasts forever. Only one type of joy can last forever, and that's joy if it's based on Ruchnius. But any Gashmius sort of joy, you know, yeah, the moment comes and the moment goes. But joy forever, Olam Yiraneinu, is a joy of true Ruchnius, of Simcha through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Yud Gimel. Ki atah tevarech tzadik Hashem, because you Hashem will bless the tzadik, katsina, like a shield, that's this almost all-encompassing shield, rotzen tachenu, you shall surround him rotzen tachenu, it's right in the end there, rotzen tachenu, surround him with favor, yeah, with favor. Oh, thank you. Surround him with favor. So Rashi points out that this tzina is a shield which surrounds a person on three sides. Tzina v'sechera mito. So we say it in Yeshiva Seselian.
What is it, the word tzina?
Tzina v'sechera amito. His truth is like a shield which surrounds on three sides, and sochera is a lotion of sechar sechar, which is the Aramaic translation of the word soviv, all around. So tzina v'sochera mito, we're surrounded by Hashem's truth surrounds us, basically. I think that's a pshat. Yeah, but here, so this tzina is this type of shield which surrounded a person on three sides, and I think Rashi, I can't remember who points this out, one of the Rishonim points out that it's an expression of tzina, meaning what's sort of tzina? Privacy. The shield this type of shield surrounds a person so well on three sides, it's a form of privacy because you're surrounded on three sides. Yeah? Oh. Kiato tavarech tzadik, you bless the tzadik. So I can't remember now, I didn't write where I saw this quoted, that this pasuk refers to the early tzadikim of the world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically blessed them. Adam and Chava vayivarechu sam elokim. Noach and his children, it says vayivarechu elokim, es Noach v'esbonov. And Avraham, it says vayeyeh bracha, Hashem said to him vayeyeh bracha. So these are the early tzadikim. Kiato tavarech tzadik, you bless these tzadikim. And one of the Midrashim points out, I can't remember again where I saw this, that Tavarech Tzadik, you bless the Tzadik, when you get a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it comes with a bracha. Normally, if a person's walking around with a big matana, a pot of gold, so a ganav could come along and take it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the pot of gold, and with it gives a bracha that you, the Tzadik who's given the gold, and the gold itself should both be protected.
Sure.